Radio Prague News.
The opposition communists have agreed to support the Czech government over a referendum on the EU constitution. The interior minister says a fugitive businessman may have fled the country after making a dramatic escape. And 200 to 300 Czech doctors are leaving for Western Europe every month, says a doctor's group. The Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek and the head of the opposition communists Miroslav Grebeníček have agreed that there should still be a Czech referendum on the European constitution. The agreement is a breakthrough for the government, as it needs the support of at least part of the opposition in order to pass a law making the referendum possible. The two men also discussed the Prime Minister's week-long visit to China, which begins on Tuesday. The communist leader himself recently returned from a visit to the country. In meeting Mr. Grebeníček, the Prime Minister confirmed his strategy of talking with all opposition parties, including the communists. The Interior Minister, František Bublan, has said there is evidence that fugitive businessman Radovan Krejčíř has evaded a police search and fled the Czech Republic. Mr. Krejčíř managed to escape from custody soon after he was arrested. He gave the police the slip after asking to use the bathroom during a search of his home near Prague at the weekend. He faces charges of tax evasion and fraud amounting to almost 3 billion Czech crowns. That's around 120 million US dollars. He is also suspected of planning a murder. Mr. Krejčíř, who is 36, is reported to be one of the richest people in the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic is opening 6 temporary consular offices to serve the country's citizens during the summer months. They are in Split and Rijeka in Croatia, Barcelona, Venice, Marseille and Burgas, Bulgaria. Meanwhile, Czech Radio has begun its annual summer broadcasting in Croatia, which attracts hundreds of thousands of Czech tourists every year. The daily 15-minute Czech language broadcasts on Radio Split include news, weather and holiday tips. 200 to 300 Czech doctors are leaving for Western Europe every month, according to figures from the Czech Doctors Association published in Monday's Mladá fronta dnes. The association bases its figures on applications it received for a certificate needed to work abroad. Britain is one of the most popular destinations for Czech doctors, with some of them commuting home to the Czech Republic at weekends, the paper says. Cheap shops and market stalls run by Chinese and Vietnamese traders are the main or second most important place for buying clothes for Czech consumers, according to a study by Incoma Research, quoted in Monday's edition of Hospodářské noviny. The traders have an annual turnover of 10 billion crowns, that's 400 million US dollars, on textiles alone, the report says. A man was killed on Monday when he was knocked down by an ambulance on a zebra crossing in Prague's Jižní město, Czech television has reported. The man died immediately after being hit by the ambulance, which did not have its siren or flashing lights turned on. Police are investigating the accident. And finally, a glance at the weather. The hot weather we've been enjoying in the Czech Republic is set to continue, with temperatures due to reach a peak of over 30 degrees Celsius. But it won't be all clear skies. Rain is expected later in the week. I'm David Vaughan, and that's the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Pavla Horáková. A Czech businessman suspected of tax evasion amounting to over $100 million escapes from police custody. The Tanec Praha Contemporary Dance Festival is in full swing, and science and technology takes to Prague streets. Stay tuned. Czech papers are full of the latest of a string of embarrassing incidents involving the police. The Czech multimillionaire Radovan Krejčíř, who's accused of a huge customs fraud involving plans to murder a customs official, managed to escape from police custody when they were searching his huge and luxurious villa outside Prague. He escaped through a window after the police let him use the toilet. Was it a case of police incompetence or could it have been corruption? Martin Mikula joins me now.
The attempted murder of a customs officer and tax fraud are not the only crimes Radovan Krejčíř has been accused of. He is suspected of a number of financial crimes, such as, for example, transferring huge amounts of money to the Virgin Islands in order to avoid paying debts.
So, Martin, who is Radovan Krejčíř?
Well, Radovan Krejčíř is a young businessman He is in his mid-30s and he has already managed to accumulate a huge amount of property worth billions of crowns. He started his business 14 years ago when he was only 21, selling food, drinks and cigarettes. Later on, he developed a net of companies trading with different sorts of goods, especially with fuel. His companies tended to leave huge tax debts.
And his wealth really is quite spectacular, isn't it?
That's right. Krejcir is that kind of a businessman who likes to flash his wealth around. He owns a huge residence near Prague, a house that is partially carved into the rock of the hillside behind. The house is estimated to have cost up to $15 million to build. He drives luxury sports cars and he even has his own shark in an aquarium.
So, Martin, what did the police find in his villa?
When they went in for the first time, they discovered a secret room full of arms, jewelry, share certificates, and even classified police documents. This last fact is intriguing. According to one of his associates who is being questioned by the police as well, Radovan Krejcir has always had very good contacts to certain officials in the state hierarchy.
And I gather this is not the first time police have tried to arrest Mr. Krejcir.
That's right. Twice before, he managed to avoid custody thanks to his lawyers, who pointed to technical mistakes made by the prosecutor. This time, he escaped thanks to a grave error of judgment by a police officer who let him use a toilet without watching him. This scandal therefore raises questions about police corruption, and the Interior Ministry has not ruled out the possibility.
And now on to a different topic. Many Czech dancers left the country in the 1990s. After a few years abroad, they are now slowly coming back home with new ideas, inspiration and experiences. Czech dance is catching up with the rest of the world, bringing together theatre, movement and dance. Some of this can be enjoyed at the Tanec Praha festival, currently underway in Prague. Jarka Halková brings the second of her reports from the festival.
Tereza Ondrová and Veronika Knitlová make up the duo Verte Dance. This year has been special for them. They were awarded the Saska Award for the Best New Emerging Dance Artist and given 400,000 crowns and 1 year to create a new dance performance. Veronika Knitlová.
Jsem tady úplně právě příšerný nadsazená.
Myslím, že by bylo mnohem jakoby lepší a přínosnější, kdyby se rozdělila prostě nějak mezi.
The award itself is too big. I think it would be better if it was divided between more dancing groups. We were surprised to get it. The competition was tough and it is difficult to decide. Dance is not objective. Now we have a year to prepare another project, but we might have to put it off for another year. It happens quite often. Once you get such a prize, you feel greater pressure. It's not easy.
The duo was chosen by an international jury. Their performance, Silent Talk, which was also part of the festival Tanec Praha, is about a big abyss between two people living and breathing next to each other, and yet drowning in misunderstandings. Teresa describes their performance.
There is a point when Veronica spreads her hands towards me so I can lie down into them. I do so, but she has a feeling that it is a trap. She can't move, she can't shake me off, and she can't leave. After she ignores me for a while, I simply leave, but she does not notice the change. She keeps doing the same thing, the same movement again and again, without realizing I am long gone.
I had a chance to see a few performances at the festival, and every single one, including Silent Talk, seemed to be based on a story of negative feelings of some kind. Solitude, unhappy love, despair. Veronika disagreed with my impression.
Naše téma není nějaké negativní, jenom spíš jaký ještě prostě fakt, jakože to je vlastně dobrý i špatný. Tereza právě tak máme představa.
Our performance is not completely negative, it's just a fact. It happens every day that two people meet, they talk and live together. At some point, one of them does something and the other does not understand it. He interprets it in his own way. It takes a long time to get to know each other and people have to communicate because they aren't telepaths. Many ridiculous misunderstandings can occur. It is just a typical example.
Silent Talk combines theater and dance and explores the possibilities of light design and video projection. It is used to create a kind of fantasy third person, an imaginary friend who turns into a human being for a short while, establishes a bond with the dancers and then disappears again. According to its author, Sverte Dance, it is no different from real life.
Report by Jarka Halková, and now from dance to science. There's no question that raising interest in science and technology among students, even very young ones, is an important task for any school system. The question is how. Textbooks and diagrams on the blackboard often do little to ignite students' imagination. That's one reason why several organizations, including the Czech Brain Project, put their heads together to take science out of the classroom and into the streets, where kids could enjoy hands-on technology. For 2 days, trains, model airplanes, and yes, robots, took over the city to children's delight. That's now in Czech Science with Jan Wellinger.
Various sites were open on Saturday, and I visited one, a tent on Prague's Náměstí Míru Square. Films about science played, and everyone from grade schoolers to university kids investigated various stands, offering activity corners. In one, children were taught how to make the simplest of radios, using a bit of wire and, yes, empty cola bottles. Their supervisor explained the kids had been listening all day, though not to Radio Prague, which they can't pick up on medium wave. Certainly, making your own radio is exciting and simple. But what about a 2-foot Meccano bot on monster treads? Now that's a science project. When I press this switch, his right leg goes forward. The treads roll, this little boy says. Well, he was too young to design it, but clearly wished he had. Asked why he liked robots, he replied.
Protože to jsou takový lidi, kteří jsou ale jenom z železa nebo z plastu.
I like them because they are like people, just out of metal and plastic. French Nobel Prize physicist Claude Cohen-Tanucci would be pleased. At a Prague conference on the future of science earlier in the week, he said that getting kids interested early was the key.
It's important to renovate the way of teaching science at the primary school, even at the primary school level, to show to the kids that we are very interested by looking at phenomena, playing with objects, to give them the feeling that they can observe things, they can make reasoning on this observation, make new experiment. Very simple material, not complicated. They will be excited by what they see and they would like to continue.
Prague's City of Science and Technology event attracted not just the very young. One of Náměstí Míru's main events was the display of robots from a prestigious amateur competition known as Eurobot, in which teams of students from European high schools and universities design and program their own robots to solve various problems. David Obdržálek, a doctor of science at Prague's Charles University, explains.
The task of this year's contest was to lay down the skittles, and the robot is just trying to find the skittles of the proper color and lay them down, that's all. And, well, it might look like a tank, but it's just only that it has been built by people who are fond of stuff like that. In fact, it's quite robust.
I asked David Obdržálek whether he thought robots were a major attraction.
Of course, as you can look around, there are many small children, well, young men, young ladies, and, well, they are quite fond of to see it. What we are trying is to show them that science can be fun. We want them to see that it's very easy to start. It's not too difficult to start with it. Many people are quite afraid to start because they think, well, it's some big science and I am not a scientist and so on. But in fact, you can buy a toy in the shop, you can buy some radio control car and you don't have to build the mechanics, and you just only add a couple of small electronic parts for 100 crowns, and it's working, and you can build your own robot for a very small price. You can really do science on that.
Throughout other parts of Prague, visitors saw a multitude of events at the weekend, the famous speed record-setting Pendolino train, motorbikes, and chemistry projects. On a warm spring day, it was probably enough to whet anyone's appetite for science. The only question is whether 2 days were enough.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague. This Tuesday, June the 21st, is the 110th anniversary of the birth of Czech philanthropist and pacifist Přemysl Pytr. Today you have another chance to hear a profile of this unsung hero of Czech 20th century history. The program was written and presented by David Vaughan.
Thanks to Steven Spielberg, the name of Oskar Schindler is known the world over. But this program is about an almost forgotten contemporary of Schindler, who deserves a similar place in history. In the course of the tumultuous 20th century, Přemysl Pytr, born in Prague in 1895, did more than perhaps anyone else to help children, Czech, German and Jewish, through some of the most horrific moments of European history. I'll start in the present day. The Přemysl Pytr Primary School was opened a few years ago in the industrial city of Ostrava. The school is unique in the Czech Republic in offering special support to Romani children from some of the poorest and most deprived families in the country. Even though it opened nearly 20 years after his death, it is no coincidence that the school is named after Přemysl Pytr. It comes close to his philosophy as an educator and thinker. Regardless of race or nationality or where they were born, that he would join the firm, and he enjoyed a happy, quiet childhood. But events took a very different course. As with so many young men of his generation, the turning point in Přemysl Pytr's life came with the First World War. As a young soldier, he witnessed the horrors of the trenches on the Italian front and came close to facing a firing squad when he found himself unable to shoot at his fellow men. He returned home a Christian and a pacifist, and convinced that having survived the war, he owed the rest of his life to others. When he saw the appalling conditions in which thousands of war widows were left to bring up their families alone, he started to work with children. In the young Czechoslovak state, he worked in the poor Prague suburb of Žižkov, and in the 1920s met his lifelong companion, the young Swiss teacher and education theorist, Olga Fiertz. While Pytr was a powerful visionary and thinker, she was extremely practical, and their work soon bore fruit. Blanka Sedláčková, now 73, remembers as a child going to the Miličů v Dům, the centre for children that Pytr and Fiertz opened in Žižkov in 1933. At a time when Central Europe was gripped by ethnic and national tensions, this was an open house to all children.
At the age of 10, I started going there with my sister. The Miličů v Dům was unique in Czechoslovakia and quite possibly in Europe as a whole, certainly from a spiritual point of view. Přemysl Pytr was a wonderfully cheerful and good-natured person with a very direct way with children. We all called him uncle, and we could turn to him with our fears or problems. When we gathered in the big room, he would talk to us, sometimes using the Bible as his starting point, but without ever giving the impression that he was trying to force some religious message on us. It was broader moral values that were important to him, telling the truth, mutual help. Children would go there regardless of political or religious allegiance.
The reputation of the Miličů v Dům and of its director spread internationally, and Pytr's writings on education and theology became well known. His pacifist views did not endear him to the state, and on one occasion Albert Einstein wrote to the Czechoslovak president, Tomáš Masaryk, to appeal for clemency when Pytr faced a prison sentence for his pacifism. On March the 15th, 1939, the Nazis marched into Prague, beginning 6 years of oppression. Seeing that Jewish children were no longer allowed to attend normal schools and take part in cultural activities, Peter invited them with open arms to the Milichov Dom. Amid the horrors of the Nazi occupation, the centre became an oasis of freedom and tolerance.
Pak se ovšem jednou stalo, že Přemysla Pitra povolali do Pečkova paláce.
One day they took him to the Gestapo headquarters and accused him of taking in Jewish children. Peter was never able to tell a lie. He looked at the man, confirmed that it was true, and added, "From a human point of view, I'm sure you can understand why I'm helping these children." After a long and deathly silence, the interrogator turned to him and said, "You may go." It was a kind of miracle. If you don't want to say it was an act of God, well, let's say that it was some kind of higher power.
Tragically, few of the Jewish children survived the war. Despite Peter's efforts, the Nazi machine eventually caught up with the Milichov Dom, and most of the children were taken away in the transports. In the early morning of the 9th of May 1945, Prague's underground radio announced the liberation of the city. This marked the beginning of the most extraordinary episode in Przemysl Peter's life. The newly established Czechoslovak government put him in charge of helping Jewish children, returning from the concentration camps traumatized and alone. He managed to set up homes in a number of country houses near Prague, in the spirit of the Milichov Dom. But what is almost unimaginable at the time, amid the atmosphere of revenge and hatred, is that he offered sanctuary not just to Jewish survivors, but also to German children. He had seen one of the internment camps in Prague, where Germans were being held prior to their mass expulsion from Czechoslovakia. And this is how he described what he found.
Thousands of people were forced to sleep on the bare ground, without blankets. The very sick and children lay in the blazing sun, in unthinkable filth, with flies crawling everywhere. The latrines and the paths that led to them were filthy from people with dysentery, who could walk no further and were lying in their own excrement.
Peter was horrified to see that the newly liberated Czechoslovakia was repeating the brutalities of the occupier, and he pointed out that the real perpetrators of Nazi crimes had long since fled. Seeing these German children dying of malnutrition and dysentery, he realized that they too needed help, and without hesitation he began to take them in as well. Just weeks after the end of the war, Jewish children from the camps and German children, some arriving still dressed in tattered Hitler Youth uniforms, were being looked after together. One of the hundreds of children he helped was 14-year-old Yehuda Bakon, a young Jewish boy who alone in his family had survived the death camps. Today he is a well-known artist in Israel, and when I spoke with him on the phone, I asked him how he felt when the German children started arriving.
Strangely enough, people in the neighborhood, they were still full of memories from the war, and they didn't look at what he has done with too sympathetic eyes, but we children who just came back from the camps had much more understanding and, in a way, even compassion, because I believe that if somebody suffered so much, he can have another kind of relationship even to his former people who made him so much trouble.
And Yehuda Bakon remembers that it was the amazing charisma of Przemysl Peter that made this extraordinary reconciliation possible.
We didn't trust anybody after the war. Why should be people kind or good to us? And here we met Przemysl Peter, who was for us at that time a symbol of goodness, and he slowly won our heart and minds. We trusted again, and we believed again in human beings, and that was, I think, one of his main achievements.
Today there is a tree on the Hill of Remembrance in Jerusalem to remember Peter's work at the time. But this is still not the end of the story. After the communist takeover, Peter, as a Christian and pacifist, soon came to be seen as an enemy of the state, and it became clear that in Stalinist Czechoslovakia he faced imminent imprisonment. In 1951, like thousands of his countrymen, he reluctantly fled to Germany. He continued his work for others, working tirelessly for several years at the Valka refugee camp near Nuremberg, where refugees from Stalinist Czechoslovakia first came after escaping the country. He died in Zurich in 1976. A quarter of a century after his death, Przemysl Peter's legacy has a very real significance, especially as the Czech Republic gradually comes to terms with its own multicultural, multi-ethnic makeup. Back at the Przemysl Pyta Primary School in Ostrava, I asked the school's head, Helena Balabanova, how she sees the significance of Pyta's name in the name of her school.
When we opened the school, there were people at the official opening who had worked with Przemysl Pyter and children he had taken care of. One of them was the priest, Mr. Shimsa, who gave a speech. He said if Przemysl Pyter were alive today, he would be taking care of Romani children. I think it is apt that our school is named after him because we are trying, at least in our own small way, to follow in his footsteps to help children who are deprived.
And I shall leave the very last word to Blanka Sedláčková, who knew Pyter for much of his working life.
Just before we went into exile, he said a wonderful thing to us. If you build from iron, the metal rusts. If you build from wood, the wood rots. Even marble crumbles in the end. But your material, the soul of the child, is eternal. That was Przemysl Pyter's lifelong creed.
The programme was written and presented by David Vaughan, and it was first broadcast on Radio Prague in March 2000. And that brings our programme to a close. If you'd like to let us know what you think of our broadcasts, the address to write to is Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or much quicker at english@radio.cz. Thank you for joining us, and please tune in again soon or visit our website at www.radio.cz. Till next time, from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here in Prague, goodbye.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu do zahraničí.
Sie empfangen Radio Prag.